I'm Sue, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Sue.
And this is actually my second time of speaking before this group, but it's funny because the tricks that my mind will play with me, because the first time that I spoke about a year ago, I arrived and we weren't in our usual room. We were downstairs in that small room on the other side, and there were only about half of the number of people. I don't know why. And it felt very like, small group, and it felt very comfortable. Whereas today, all week I've been a little bit nervous about this, speaking today. But I also have realized what a gift it was to know that this was coming up, because I did a lot of work on the reality that the words that are coming out of my mouth now are not mine, that the words that are coming out are the words that come through me from my higher power. So I hope that this will have some message that works for someone. And if it doesn't, keep coming back, because there are many other speakers who talk. I am going to stick with the format, I think, of what it was like, what happened, and what it's like today. So my story is that I know for a fact that I was a compulsive overeater when I was 8 years old. I'm pretty sure I was a compulsive overeater when I was 5 years old, and I think I was a compulsive overeater when I was in utero, because I was 10 pounds and 11 ounces when I was born. But I have two pieces of sort of objective data about that from my childhood. One of them is we have this wonderful family movie where my family has gathered together with my favorite cousins, and we're all running around. There are a whole bunch, you know, we're all baby boomers, so there's always a lot of kids running around. And we're in this park, and in the park there's like the stump of a tree. And I look like I'm probably about five. And my brother, who is a couple years younger than me, so maybe I'm six, and my cousin, who's my age, are all running around. And one of the things we're doing as little kids is we're running around, and then we're climbing up onto this stump and standing there and beating our chests like Tarzan and jumping off. Except that what happens is my cousin, who's a female, goes running over to it, and she climbs up, and she bangs her chest and jumps off, and my brother goes running up to it, does this, and I'm actually bigger, so taller, so therefore the stump is there. But I can't get up the stump. And there are two reasons why I can't. One is that I'm pretty chubby, but the other one is I have a bag of a substance, which I will not name, and I'm here, and I have a bag which is bright orange, and you can put your hand into this bag and do this action, and the bag goes down and it touches the ground. And I am doing this everywhere in this family movie that you go around, you see everybody running around, and I'm enjoying being with my family, but I'm doing this action in the entire thing. So I think that's a pretty good indicator that I was, rather than participating completely with other people, I was getting my my joy out of this, which is ironic because I came from really the Cleaver family. I mean, I had these wonderful parents. I mean, as in Leave It to Beaver. That's the last name. I had a wonderful mother. I had a wonderful father. There's not addiction in my family. There was no abuse. I've been so fortunate. I met the love of my life, my husband of 43 years, when I was 19 years old. It's been a wonderful marriage. I don't have any terrible reason to tell me why I am a compulsive overeater, but I think it's part of who I am. So I went through my life. I was a good student. I had a few friends. It's only been since I came to the program that I realized how much I limited my friendships by this disease. How I thought people didn't like me when the reality and didn't want me to be around when the reality was that I was shutting them out. And I went along, and in my life, my weight story is that I was the size I am right now when I was 11 years of age, except I was probably about 30 pounds heavier than this. So I grew to this height at the age of 11. You can imagine that's unusual. And I know I was dieting when I was 8 years old. And I think the way I describe it is that my weight, I would lose 20 pounds, and then I would gain 21 pounds. And then I would lose 20 pounds, and I gained 22 pounds. And then I would lose 20 pounds, and I would gain 21 pounds. And you do that over a period of 50 years. which is how long I diet. I probably dieted for 52 years, actually. 5 minutes? Thank you. And then I moved on in life. I had a work that I loved, a really lovely relationship with my husband, and then we retired, and we traveled a lot, and this disease that had always pulled me, grabbed me by the throat and shook me and said, I'm going to kill you. And what happened was I started eating heavily during the day. I would have a really big breakfast with him, and it would be lovely because we're retired, and I'd have a really big lunch and a really big dinner, you know, often with desserts and things. And then as we were cleaning up in the kitchen, he would be on the other side where our dining area is and stuff. I would be in the kitchen. What happened at the end, my real bottom was I would go to the kitchen, and as I was cleaning up every day, I would pull out my KitchenAid mixer, and I would throw a stick of butter in it, and I would throw 2 sticks of brown sugar and a whole bunch of other things, and I would make this big bowl of dough after eating all day, eating many thousands of calories all day, and I would just eat that with a spoon every night. And I don't know how many calories were in there, 15, 20,000, something like that, because there's so much more that I put into it than that. And every morning I would wake up and say, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to eat healthy. I feel like a story from the Big Book. I feel like a story from Alcoholics, where they say, I'm not going to drink today, and by noon they're drunk. Well, that was what was happening to me. And it happened again and again and again and again and again for 3 months straight. And I was starting to feel really physically sick. And I don't know how much weight I had put on, probably 15 or 20 pounds in 2 or 3 months. And I literally realized at one point, I did step one without knowing what step one, which was that I realized that I was totally powerless over food. And I had a friend who was in a program related to this program who had talked with me about that for years. And I walked into a meeting one day. And I walked into a meeting and there was a speaker. And I'll never forget it because I was sitting there. I was so uncomfortable. You know, at your first meeting, I don't know about you, but you get in there and you feel so vulnerable and you're sitting there. And this speaker started telling his story. And he got to a point where he told something about being told, oh, don't worry about it. A nutritionist said, I understand. You love that food. No problem. I've set up this new diet for you. And every day at lunch, you can have a half a cup of X. And the guy said this, and I went, huh, and 30 other people went, huh, at the moment. And I looked around and I said, I'm home. And I've been home ever since that moment. So that's kind of what it was like and what happened. and so what's happening and what it's like now. I have never had a moment of doubt since that day that I was totally powerless over food. And I had tried everything that was out there, except I hadn't had gastric bypass surgery. And I was so demoralized and so hopeless, but I walked into these rooms and I found hope. And very early on, what I heard are two things that really did change my life. One of them was, you need to have a sponsor if you're going to do this, and you need to work the steps. And the other one was, this is a program of actions. It's not a program of beliefs. It's you've got to do the work. And those two things have really held me in really, really, really good stead. I mean, there's been much more wisdom that I've, you know, heard along the years, but those two things really helped to set me up on on the program that I have today. And so what happened was I became abstinent very quickly, which I still can't believe, but I think it's because for 52 years I was trying to do that, and I finally gave up my will on that part of it. I worked with my sponsor. I had to change sponsors after 8 months. And both of my sponsors have been wonderful. And I worked the steps, and I worked the steps as honestly and completely as I could. I used the workbook, I used the Big Book, I used the OA 12 and 12. And I really became so much more honest than I had ever been. And I always have felt that if you'd asked me, as a matter of fact, when I read back through my initial inventories, one of the questions is, are you an honest person? And I wrote, absolutely, I'm a very honest person. Thank you. But what I have come to believe is I was unbelievably dishonest. And I never stole any money. I never cheated on a test. But the person I was the most dishonest with was myself. I never faced who I was. I never faced what I really believed in. What I really believed. And therefore, I couldn't communicate to other people what I believed in, because I didn't know myself. And I was one of these wiggly, squirrely people that wanted to please you. So if you really believed in a political thing, I would tone down my thoughts. If you really believed what I believed, I was right there with you. And everything else in my life was like that. So I have learned so much about myself. And today I'm really working on the 11th step, and I'm going to read it to you again just in case you don't remember. Because I realized that I came in without much. I was raised in a religion, and I actually belong to a church and occasionally go, but I certainly didn't have any real sense of a personal connection with my higher power. Step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God. Praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And what I've come to realize is that, I think this comes from the Big Book. I'm not sure if it's Big Book or our 12 and 12, but it talks about what would you want to do if you wanted to cultivate a friendship. What you would do is you would dedicate time to that friend, to that friendship. You would set aside time to call your friend and get together or do whatever it is. And that if I really want to develop a relationship with a higher power, and I really do, what I need to do is set aside time and do the actions. And for me, what that means is couple of things. One of them is prayer and meditation, and those do not come naturally to me. Someone told me about a meditation app which has been very, very helpful, and if anybody's interested, I'm happy to tell you about it afterward. But really taking time in my day to set it aside, and I had never known what prayer and meditation really meant, but what I've come to believe for me is that prayer is when you talk to God, and meditate is when you listen for God to talk back to you. And you can do that with music or with guided meditation or silence or by looking at the waves on the ocean with it. But I think that it is an important thing to do. So I think I just want to finish off by saying that I had to give up my sense of understanding, of controlling what I was going to eat. When I came into this program, I had to listen to my fellows with long-term abstinence, and I did those things. I still come to meetings very, very frequently, and every single meeting I've ever been to, I've heard something that helps me. If it's not from the speaker, it's from a share. And I think that's all I have to say. Thank you.